Do you look at it every day? The first thing you do in the morning, perhaps the last thing you do at night. It helps you plan what to wear, what you can do, maybe what you feel like cooking for dinner. But this summer, I've had more people say to me, why does it seem the weather report is always wrong at the moment? Is that fair? Let's find out. Don White is a forecaster with Weather Watch. Morning, Don.
Morning, Kaya.
Oh, what do you think when you hear people questioning if the weather report is accurate?
Look, I think I can concentrate on the times that the forecast is inaccurate. But we have to realise that forecasting the weather is still a developing science. There's still so many variables that can go into causing changes in the weather, and even variations over small distances. We forecast for a city the size of Newcastle. Well, it could rain down at Belmont and it might be quite sunny at Hexham. You know, it's we have to realise that there is variations within the one area. But in general, weather forecasting up to 2 or 3 days ahead is around about 90% accurate. Over 3 days ahead, we are improving up to 3 to 6 days ahead, about 70 to 80% accurate. There are obviously easier times of the year to forecast and more difficult times of the year. May, June is a relatively easy time because pressure systems move in a more predictable manner. And from November through to January is one of the most difficult times of the year, and especially in a wet summer like this one when variability can be quite frequent.
Why is this time of year so hard to forecast on?
Well, there's conflicting air masses and conflicting movements of air in the middle and upper levels of the atmosphere and things like that. We get tropical moisture coming down from the north in little pockets and little bands. They form thunderstorms, and those thunderstorms are then steered by the upper winds. So storms can move over a particular area, and areas 10 or 20 kilometres either side of where the storms are might get nothing. And then you can get southern ocean changes are weaker, but therefore they're more variable in their movement. And so forecasting the prediction of movement 2 or 3 days ahead, if they slow down by just 10%, then 3 or 4 days out can make a difference of 9 hours, which would give a totally different day.
Yeah, absolutely. And has La Nina, does it create even more uncertainty?
It creates a little bit more uncertainty because there's more moisture around. And moisture, of course, is something that reacts with winds and everything else to sort of challenge forecasting. And in a La Nina year, forecasting is more challenging for sure.
How much has that science changed? You said it's something that we're still improving, still getting good at in your time. How have you seen it change, Don?
Well, the most dramatic changes in my lifetime have been with satellite imagery. You know, up to about a bit over 50 years ago, there was no such thing as weather satellites. It was 60 years ago. And then for a long time, now that's very basic, and they showed you cloud formations and things like that. But the more sophisticated satellite imagery now can give you temperature at different levels through the atmosphere, can give you wind fields, all sorts of information like that. Also, the computer modelling is improved. We get much larger and bigger computers, and some of the largest in the world work out of Bracknell in England for the European Centre for Forecasting, and that can give forecasts all over the world for up to 7 to 10 days ahead. And those things have improved dramatically in the last, even in the last decade. And hopefully we'll expect them to improve further over the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, that was my next question. Just how accurate do you think we can be? If we're already at about 90%, how close to that 100% accurate do you think we can get, Don?
Well, 90% means how you interpret the forecast a little bit too. You see, if I forecast for, the forecast for Newcastle today, for example, is partly cloudy. So if there's some cloud, it doesn't rain, the forecast has been correct. If there's one or two showers, theoretically the forecast is slightly wrong, but probably still pretty correct. If you go in 4 or 5 days' time and there's a greater chance of rain, you say a 30 or 40 or 50% chance of rain, but if it rains, you can say, well, that 40% chance came up. If it doesn't rain, you say it doesn't come up. So it's a way you interpret the forecast a little bit as well. But in general, I think forecasting, the biggest change in forecasting in the coming years will be in the 3 to 7 day forecast group outlook. They've become that much more accurate at the moment. It's still a dicey region, and especially when you get to 5-6 days out, it's a bit even more dicey. But I think in 10 years' time, we'll be able to make six-day forecasts as accurately as we can make two-day forecasts today.
Mm. I heard something recently that percentage when it comes to rain, like so a 10% chance of rain is, there is a chance of rain over 10% of the forecast district. Is that correct, or is it a percentage of how much rain we could get?
No, the former one's relatively correct. The 10% chance of rain means that, 10% of the region could get rain, means 90% of the region won't get rain. It can also be interpreted slightly differently too, because the Bureau forecast actually gives possible rainfall in millimetres, and they give, say, 1 to 5 millimetres. And that actually means about a 25% chance of 5 millimetres and a 75% chance of the 1 millimetre. So, sometimes I think these percentage forecasts from the Weather Bureau haven't been explained as well as they could have been, and our interpretations of them vary, and sometimes people interpret them the way they want to. So if you ever doubt, I know we forecast, if you're ever doubtful, and there is quite often occasionally a doubt, you often forecast a bit more pessimistically. Because if the weather turns out better than you forecast, people are more likely to forgive you than if it turns out worse.
That was a lesson I learnt when I was working at a pizza shop as a teenager as well. They're like, overestimate. Tell them it'll be ready in 25 minutes. That way when they come in 15, they're always going to be happy.
That's true. That's a bit like the weather. Yep.
Terry in James Creek says there's only three ways to predict the weather. One, the bomb radar. Two, the bomb colour synoptic chart, but you've got to know how to read it. And three, the bomb four-day forecast maps, says Terry. What do you make of that, Don?
Yeah, I think for the amateur forecaster, those three things are really essential. The radars became a great tool for short-term forecasting. By short-term, I mean, 2 to 3 hours ahead or something like that, or even anything from 0 to 3 hours ahead. The colour charts, of course, are always interesting, but the four-day charts, and to see how they're changing and see how the movement occurs over those 4 days, an educated eye can make quite a good forecast based on those three bits of information.
Mm. All right, how do we get better at reading and interpreting the daily weather forecast on? What should we be doing?
I think just practice. You look at weather maps if you're interested, and you look at what happened in the weather, and you look in retrospect. You can always see yesterday's weather map still up on the Bureau website somewhere, and look what happened, and then see why the weather turned. Try to work out whether you can see something in that movement of those weather maps and weather systems that can explain what actually happened. And that might help you next time you see a similar type of chart developing. It might help you with your assessment of the weather. Some farmers in more remote areas of New South Wales become very good at doing this. And they've been very good at looking at signs in the weather too. And I suppose the bottom line is, and I should add the fourth form of weather forecasting, is open your eyes and look outside and look at the sky.
Look at, if it's raining on you, it's probably 100% chance of rain.
That's about it. If you see some black clouds coming in, then beware. If you see, look at the movement of the cloud, and you look in the direction they're coming from, and there's more sun out there or more blue sky, then the rain's probably gone. So, a combination of a lot of things, but local knowledge and also visual effects and weather maps and things are the basics. Mm.
Louise from Newcastle has texted Don saying the rain percentages are in 3-hour blocks on the BOM website, but if you add up all those blocks, it usually ends up being over 100% for the day. Can you explain that?
Yeah, well, that's where we come back to the percentage of the area. It does mean if you say there's, say, between 9 a.m. And noon, there's a 30% chance of rain, and between noon and 3 p.m. there's a 70% chance of rain, it doesn't mean there's a 100% chance of rain over those 6 hours. So we don't add them up. We just look at each individual hour and look at the percentage in that individual 3-hour block. So a 30% chance of rain in the 3-hour block means that 30% of the area might get some showers. 70% chance of rain in the next 3-hour block could include some of the 30% that had rain in the first 3 hours, but might include, well, obviously if it's 70%, would include at least 40% more of that area that might get rain in that 3-hour period.
Yeah, right.
So you can't add the percentages. It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. Don't try to make it to 100. It's not worth it.
That's true.
Tim's texting from Deniliquin saying, it's just so amazing how climate scientists can forecast the weather in 50 years, but we still, as you were saying, Don, that 3 to 7 day is still a bit of a question sometimes. Tim says it makes it really hard for farmers to plan irrigation harvest, etc. How big a difference is there in that real long-term forecast compared to telling us what's going to happen on, say, Sunday?
Yes, well, see, that's a totally different branch of weather science. It's more climate change and climatic indicators. If we forecast for farmers, we try to forecast general conditions over the coming months, not a day-to-day forecast. What they're going to be like on the 15th of June, I can't tell you. I could tell you, and if it was, I could say it's going to be fine. If it turned out fine, you think, gee, that bloke's good. But you could make it the same thing. What we're doing with farmers and what we're trying to do is look at long-term models, and again, that's improved as well, because as we've improved satellite imagery, we've also improved knowledge of the oceans, because you can pick up ocean currents and ocean temperatures from satellites where previously it was just a thermometer dropped over the back of a boat sailing from here to New Auckland or something. So we have a much better idea now. And so generally our three-monthly forecasts are getting better. They're not 3 months on a day-to-day basis, but they're 3 months in relation to average. And so at the moment we're saying for the next 3 months, for example, in eastern New South Wales especially, will be wetter than normal. The chances of getting really hot weather this summer, like 40 degree plus, is less than or lower than in other summers. And then we can say we're back into neutral patterns across the Pacific by winter. So there's no indication that drought-like conditions are going to return to anywhere in eastern Australia in 2022. Forecasting what's going to happen in the next 3 to 5 years is very complicated. And it's been complicated more by the fact that man's influencing the weather now. We definitely have a warmer world. We definitely have more energy in the oceans of the world at any time in recorded history. And more energy means more variability in the weather above. It means more severity, possibly more severe storms. It can mean more heat waves, and it could also mean more really cold spells. You know, places like Boston in the United States might have had a few years ago had their warmest year ever, but also had the heaviest snowfall ever in the same year, because they had a couple of extreme events during the year. And I think that's what we're have to look forward to in the next decade or so, more extreme weather events, longer periods of dry weather when they occur, and longer periods of wet weather when they occur.